There's a pretty common number floated around regularly in the technology and government technology communities about how many billions of devices will be connected to the internet over the next few years. The question of how secure it is becomes more and more pressing. Bottom line is that every day we start living more and more connected lives, and government is trying to keep up. But it's not just policy that's driving that evolution, it's technology. It's not necessarily a piece of legislation, it's an app or a device. So as both citizens and governments begin to embrace technology at a deeper level, and in the process connect more and more to the internet, the challenges of securing smart cities become even more prevalent. Welcome to Statescoop's recorded virtual roundtable today, where we're talking about how to secure smart cities and how governments should be thinking about new connected technologies. Our first guest today is Peter Tran. He's the General Manager and Senior Director for RSA's Advanced Cyber Defense Technology Practice. Peter, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good to be here.
We're also joined by Hardik Bhatt. He's the Chief Information Officer for the State of Illinois and the former Chief Information Officer for the City of Chicago. Hardik, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be here.
Today's virtual roundtable is sponsored by RSA Security, and with that, let's get started here in the questions. Peter, I want to start with you. Can you tell me a little bit about how we got here to this inflection point of smart cities and security?
Well, to give some context of our IT journey in general, and I think Hardik will relate to this as a CIO from the state of Illinois, is that as in the last decade or so, we've been migrating our infrastructures on an IT basis from traditional on-prem investments that have evolved, and we're at a point where we're migrating to in a mass rush, it seems, to cloud and hybrid cloud environments to take advantage not only of the public infrastructure but the compute power that hybrid cloud environments have. And in doing so, mobility has moved in tandem with that. So we have over 7.5 billion mobile devices in the world, 175 billion downloaded apps in 2015 alone, and that's not including IoT. So when we're thinking about mobile devices and the IoT migration with cloud and the technology innovation we see around IT infrastructures, we're looking at a migration from roughly 22 billion IoT devices, including mobile, today to a 2020 in the next 3 years, or already in 2017, right, to over 50 billion, and that's being conservative.
So Hardik, same question to you. I mean, you've seen this from the perspective of a few different roles in your career so far, but tell us a little bit about the historical context that you've seen about all of these devices coming online and really what the security implications are for smart cities and, in your case, smart state.
Jake, I will come at this from a slightly different point of view, and that will be a little bit more economic and social point of view. So if I go back to my days of the city of Chicago, our focus when we talk about smart Chicago or smart city was around broadband and how do we increase the usage of broadband, awareness of broadband, education, and benefits of broadband for the general population. And then that moved on to how do people use technology, especially connectedness. In healthcare, in transportation, in public safety, and that kind of gave birth to the holistic smart cities movement, and then that started penetrating into the various industries. During my time at Cisco, you know, Cisco came up with the number $19 trillion of value, and from that $19 trillion, $14 trillion of economic value that comes basically. Again, based on increased revenue, reduced cost, improved productivity, improved supply chain innovation, newer jobs created because of the innovation. $14 trillion was attributed to the private sector and the $4.6 trillion coming from the global public sector over a decade. And you think about the public sector, about $3 trillion of that was calculated to come from the urban areas, or basically the cities and the states, et cetera, non-defense category. And that comes from, you know, that increased efficiency had to come from something just beyond the ERP and your regular systems that we had been using for a couple of decades. And that basically was going to come from connecting all of these assets, you know, all of these unconnected public assets like the street lights and the parking spots and the traffic lights and traffic management and so on and so forth, fleet, buildings, etc., and then using that connectedness or the data that comes out of that for better decision making that can help the government become more efficient, and at the same time help the government enable a smart city-based economy where entrepreneurs and businesses can thrive in that area. Now, it's obvious that as you start connecting a lot of devices, you're also exposing it to potential cyber hack if you're not keeping cybersecurity at the top of your design and implementation. And that's where I think Illinois has been one of the thought leaders keeping the cybersecurity at the forefront as we start thinking and planning our play around IoT and smart state.
That's great. And Hardik, you know, given that, I want to go right back to you on this because I think you hit on a good point. I mean, we can say that we need to include cybersecurity, in every process, and that's really good and that's really important. But I think it'd be valuable here to get into a little bit more detail on what that actually means. I mean, what should cities be thinking about going forward, and how can cities be including cybersecurity into everything?
You know, in general, for 3 or 4 decades, the cities and the states and the countries have been using technology for government operations. But traditionally, these technologies have been deployed in silos. So one agency will deploy something that the other agency does not know about, even though both of them will probably be on an enterprise network. And the sort of comprehensive enterprise-wide cybersecurity would be absent in general. And as we get into IoT, that actually a threat exacerbates because now you are connecting millions of devices on a potentially vulnerable network. So what we did at Illinois is we created what we call the IoT Center of Excellence. And in that Center of Excellence, what we call ICE, we brought all of the various agencies that deal with smart city type solutions, so transportation, tollway, public safety departments, our buildings related agencies, as well as fleet related agencies, and we brought them together, and we have the chief information security officer and his team integrated with that. So as we build our plans for or a roadmap for how we are going to start deploying these solutions, the CISO is right there at front and center, advising on how can we make it secure. I think the key point here is we have been living in a world where it is an internet for people. So when you and I connect onto the internet, our device does get acknowledged as the device, but it does not have to be authenticated all the time to get onto the network. And we have kind of continued building the Internet of Things onto the internet for people. So what we actually need to move to is to an internet for things. So every device which does not have a screen, it's just a small device sensor connected somewhere, needs to be authenticated, make sure that it's not a rogue or not a device that has been captured by some other elements. So we need to start moving and thinking from internet for people to internet for things. And that's also one of the parts of our discussions of our design.
So same question to you, Peter. I mean, how should cities really be including cybersecurity in their smart city strategies and making sure that it trickles down into every single piece of the puzzle?
Well, Jake, I'm going to take this from a very complimentary angle of driving as much visibility into the smart city connected living environment. And it's quite overwhelming, and it's beyond just connecting billions of devices and trying to be efficient around networks. So the threat landscape is changing significantly rapidly, and Chicago is an example of that, where intrusions are going to naturally happen every day. And as we drive efficient living, whether it's traffic management or smart lighting or irrigation or crime prediction or metropolitan Wi-Fi, it's the enhancement of lives, and so security gets driven right down to the user instead of the network itself. So when we think about driving visibility and looking at, instead of the macro breach level, we're looking at micro breaches. So, for example, at RSA, because we drive and develop technology, when we're looking at breaking up a smart city environment, we want to look at both functionality and visibility and analytically, whether it's through machine learning, artificial intelligence, or through our own, what we call our RSA Net Witness Suite or RSA Identity Management or RSA Secure, our Secure ID environment. Hartwig made a point around the authentication, where we want to be able to not only manage visibility to what does bad look like now in this new environment. We're not going to be looking for static alerts and red flags that we traditionally would have before, because the environments are much different for the cyber criminal or nation-state actor that wants to grab a foothold into a new critical infrastructure. I would consider a smart city in and of itself a manifestation of critical infrastructure. The cybersecurity framework and classifies 16 critical infrastructures that the U.S. federal government has put forth, according to Executive Order 13636. But when we're driving what does bad look like, through our technology, one aspect of it, through the process and segmentation of a smart city, and we're looking at zones. So is it a healthcare zone? We want to break it up. And zones have enclaves, and do we have public safety on another? Do we have retail, banking, transportation? We start to look at specific threats to not only the function in its own zone, but the enclave that it belongs to and how it's connected all together. And we've seen this globally in our work. Amsterdam has a smart city, Barcelona does, Dubai, Madrid, Santa Cruz, California. I mean, Chicago, New York, San Francisco. We're driving them not only globally and predictively. If we're not driving the right kind of visibility from a technology standpoint, behavioral analytics of what a smart city should be behaving like normally and should not, what looks suspicious, these smart cities are going to start to stitch together very shortly on a global basis, not acting in isolation, because global economies are going to demand that that smart city start to really, for commerce purposes and for collaboration purposes, really start to connect one another together. So it starts to scale very fast, and the security concerns start to scale very fast in this new complicated environment.
Let's start with you, Peter. You know, kind of can you give us some of your insight from what you're seeing at RSA about where this stuff is going in the future and what that means for cities and states and government across the board?
I mean, I think in the next, I think, you know, 2020 seems so far away. It's only 3 years, right? So if we look at, you know, the 2030 horizon and other conversations around what 2030 would look like, I think there's going to be an interlock closely between local, state, federal, and the private industry acting closer together through not only the Internet of Everything, Internet of People, Internet of Things, but the smart, connected, enhanced living. You're starting to see a push towards the interlock that federal government is going to be a lot more dependent, state, local, and otherwise, on the public-private sector collaboration. But now our infrastructure is going to start to really merge more because it's efficient. We want to take advantage of all the efficiencies. Now, that's aside from the regulatory aspects and policy and compliance. Merely from the horizon of 2030, identity management and authentication and risk based authentication and protecting your individual identity is going to be even more key. We'll start to see a lot of innovation around holding that, because you do have to safeguard that from the moment that you log into your smart device all the way through to everywhere you traverse within smart cities and smart environments, all the way down to the telemetry and the metrics that your health care provider is going to give you, that's going to communicate through your smart vehicle onto the health care provider, so that we can start having predictive healthcare as opposed to disease management or healthcare systems management. So there's going to be a lot more interlocks between how we live and how state, local, federal, and the private industry is going to start to act in more concert, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That totally makes sense. And actually, this transitions perfectly to some of the things that I know that Hardik is working on in Illinois. You know, with Smart State, you're really trying to create something that binds smart cities and smart things within Illinois together. So, Hardik, where do you see that, and specifically the cybersecurity angle of that, going into the future?
Jake, most of the cities that Peter talked about, Barcelona, Dubai, Hamburg, Copenhagen, I did get a chance to work with through my role at Cisco and building the IoT connectivity that we see in those cities today. Those are continuing to scale up. So will all of the other industry verticals, healthcare, transportation, etc. And within the state of Illinois also, we are taking a statewide approach and using the state as a platform or state as a demand aggregator to make sure that every city, every municipality, every school district within the state of Illinois gets the opportunity to play in the smart cities area and become smarter, efficient, and kind of also create opportunities for people that live in Illinois. But when the thought comes about security, you know, on cybersecurity, we do have an enhanced focus. We do believe that, you know, the private sector, the industry that's building cybersecurity solution will continue to stay one step ahead of the hackers and provide us, the governments, the solution that we need to make sure that these implementations are secure. But what worries me a little bit more when we think about security is more personal security, financial security, and many other aspects of security, individual and community-based, where if you read some of the reports that have come out recently from the World Economic Forum or the white paper from MIT and others, it actually talks about this whole automation that is driven through by IoT, but then going into the driverless vehicles and AI and cognitive computing and robots and everything is going to start very quickly picking up. And as industry adoption picks up pace, we will start seeing a lot of people that are in their jobs currently will start seeing that their jobs are being replaced by machines, or their jobs are being, they need to start looking at upward in terms of their jobs. And I think if you look at the World Economic Forum report that was published in January of 2016, it actually says if the governments don't start acting very quickly to reskill the labor, we will probably in next 5 years, that is 2016 to 2020, see a net loss of 5.1 million jobs. And that is what scares me. That is what I when I think about this individual financial security and the security of our communities, it is absolutely essential that the governments kind of take charge of this digital economy and start kind of focusing on getting our workforce ready for this upcoming change. And Peter talks about the Horizon 2030, but I do believe that this horizon is coming much sooner than 2030. And we just need to start getting ready. So beyond cybersecurity, we also need to start thinking of personal, individual, and community security.
Peter Hardik, I think there's a ton here that we need to continue to think about and continue talking about when it comes to securing smart cities in the future. So thanks for offering your perspectives on this today, and I can't wait to hear about what's next.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Thank you very much, Jake.
So that's it for today's virtual roundtable. Stay tuned to statescoop.com for more news, events, and multimedia as we continue to engage key state and local government information technology decision makers every day, online, and in person. Thanks again to RSA for sponsoring today's virtual roundtable. I'm Jake Williams, StateScoop's Manager of Strategic Initiatives, and we'll catch you next time.